the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Because I want them to get familiar with you. Nancy Nance here on the Edge, all the way from Canada, Brains. Okay, back to the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you get some surprises from me in the mail?
Not yet.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you have something to look forward to.
I love that.
You know, they don't have snail mail anymore. Everything's electronic. I'd love to get a package. I've been doing these unboxings. Wonderful. Have you been seeing the unboxings online? They're so fun.
Yes, those unboxings are so much fun. Oh, my gosh. They are amazing.
Well, we should do one with a subscription service and maybe incorporate your book and some of my marketing stuff. It's a win, right?
Absolutely. And I've got essential oils. I sent one to you as well. So you'll be getting that in the mail.
Nancy, tell me about these essential oils. Okay, because I've used them. I use them more for aromatherapy. I don't use them for medication, per se, or for healing, per se. But aroma is healing. How did you get started in that? I want to jump to that.
Well, when I was a little girl, my grandmother, my Oma, because she's German, she always had geraniums growing. So I love the smell of geraniums, and I used to play with them all the time. And then as an adult, I loved the way that the essential oils, they just smelt natural. They didn't have the same smell as a perfume. And you could keep on putting essential oils on all day long, one after another after another, and somehow you would just feel better.
Okay, so I know a lot of people use the basics. They use rosemary, they use lavender, they use eucalyptus, they use geranium, peppermint, all these type of things. But aren't they also very erotic?
Oh, cypress and ylang ylang together? Like an aphrodisiac. Yes. It's an aphrodisiac. It is my daughter by design's favorite. So I say daughter by design because she's my son's fiance. So daughter by design. That's her favorite.
So let's dial back and tell my brains, who is Nancy Nance?
Well, Nancy Nance is a mom, a mother of five. So I have four sons.
Wow.
Gosh, I can't even remember their ages. They are 3 years apart. My youngest is 20. Yes.
Four.
So okay, 24.
Don't worry about it. Time is an illusion anyway. Don't even worry.
Exactly. So 24, 27, 30, 33. And then my daughter, Emily, is forever 10.
Forever 10. Girl, I'm telling you, you got to think when you're talking to Nancy Nance, okay? Because you just put
forever 10. Yes. So Emily's birthday is coming up on August the 8th. She will be 19 human years, but forever 10. She passed away when she was 10 years old.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, that's a beautiful thing. If she's comfortable in that space, we're not going to mess with her.
That's
so
right.
How's life there in Canada right now? Tell me a little bit about that. How's that looking?
Well, it's quieter. It's much more quiet. There's the two sides of the coin. There's the fear and then there's the faith. There are those that are afraid, and those that trust that this is a process that we will overcome.
Right. I'm thinking I'm gonna wake up and it's a weird science fiction movie.
Yes. 2020 vision, right?
Like I have some bad tequila and salsa or something, because this is a nightmare.
Yes.
This is a nightmare.
It is. It is. And I mean, we always go to Mexico every winter. This year, we're going somewhere.
Oh, I know. I know.
But I don't know where.
Well, I'm going to have a virtual birthday party. I'm going to invite you, Nancy Nance. Go on, girl. We're going to pretend we're in Jamaica. It's going to be fun, fun, fun.
Oh, Jamaica.
You know, I love the beaches. There's a certain serenity and there's a certain peace in the work that you do. Tell my brains about that.
Well, oh, in the work that I do. So emotional health coach is one of the titles. I mean, we've all got to have that title. We got to have that tagline. But what I do, what I do for people is I help them move from trauma to triumph. Every single person goes through trauma.
Right.
And it's how it affects our lives that gives us the opportunity to heal. So when my daughter passed away, I did not want that. I mean, it was not my choice. And I was angry. It was palpable. When I wrote about the mourners that were there supporting me, I called them mongrels. Mm-hmm. I was full of hatred. I was full of despise. My son was injured. His patella was smashed. His shoulder was torn open and he had suffered a massive concussion.
Well, we'll dial back a little bit because my brains don't actually know the story of the death of your daughter.
So it was on August the 26th of 2011. And Emily and Jarrett.
Was it about 2 weeks within her birthday?
Yeah, her birthday, August the 8th, and then her passing on August the 26th. So she had just turned 10 years old. That number 10 is very important. And she was going on a Sea-Doo ride. It was her last Sea-Doo ride of the season because we were going home to Edmonton. So we were in Kelowna, which is in British Columbia, and we were going to Edmonton. So she wanted one last Sea-Doo ride with her brother. So he came home from work, and he and Emily went on one Sea-Doo, and Haley, his fiance at the time, was on the other Sea-Doo. So typical day, weather was beautiful. It was just fabulous. And they were coming back from the ferry docks. And they were going a little bit slow. Emily was in the front and Jarrett was behind. And Haley was ahead of them. So she was waiting in front of the lake house that we had rented. And a boat swerved to miss Haley and hit Jarrett and Emily. And Emily died on impact. So I received a phone call that I missed. And I heard that noise on your phone, you know, when there's a message. And I was standing on the dock and I was looking out into the water. And gosh, it looked like our Sea-Doo. But that's not possible because they're not back yet. So I went back, picked up my phone, and listened to a message that said, there's been an accident. And I saw her dad. He was on a boat. So I saw him coming in. I explained the situation to him. I threw him the phone. He listened to the message. He threw it back. He tore off in his boat with his friend, who he was with at the time. And I went into the house. And my sister by design was there. My niece and her aunt. And Tanya and I went to what we believed was the hospital, because that's where you go when there's an accident. And as we were driving by the hotel, you could see the lights, the red, the blue, but there was no sound. So I knew to go there because something had happened. So I walked out onto the dock and Emily was there with her dad.
Oh, geez.
And he was holding her in his arms and he was just sobbing. He was sobbing and there was blood in her hair and she was just, it was like she was sleeping. And so I reached out to touch her and stayed with her for a minute, a moment, 5 minutes. And then I felt her body change and I had to let go and I had to go to Jarrett.
Wow.
I had to go see Jarrett. So I went and saw him and he had repetitive language. So he kept on saying the same three things over again. He said, I killed my baby sister. My dad's going to be mad. Where's my mom?
Wow. That's a heavy load to carry emotionally. Can I ask you some personal questions? Ask them if you feel comfortable or not feel comfortable. You say their dad. You speak in third party. So you're no longer with their biological father?
No. We've been divorced for 8 years.
8 years? 8 years. Did this cause a significant tear in the relationship, the loss of a child?
Oh, gosh, yes. We were that number. We were that number. I focused on my own healing. He focused on his own healing, and we did it very differently. Right. Very, very differently. Yeah.
You know, I had a friend. It was horrible. Her husband accidentally ran over their son backing out of the driveway. And just the torment of a loving couple. So I can't imagine the loss of a child, and everybody, again, processes it differently. So yes. If you're with someone that may be going through a traumatic experience, maybe not this, or maybe someone that's just lost someone suddenly from COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to that person right now about just trying to settle in with it? Not necessarily, because there's these stages of grief, and everybody's going to go through them differently. There's no numeric number that you're going to go through. You're going to have highs and lows, and you're going to feel like you want to commit suicide. You're going to go through a whole metamorphosis. What would you say to that person right now, Nancy Nance?
Well, you know, this too shall pass was something that a friend of mine told me. And at the time, I wasn't very responsive. There were a lot of phrases that I hated. So when people would say to me, sorry for your loss, it would be like nails on a chalkboard, because you lose a backpack. And you can always retrace your steps. So that phrase really, really grated on me. I've always lived with the very strong, strong, strong system of 3 days grace. That we don't make any decisions until we've digested it for 3 days. And sometimes you just have to live moment by moment, minute by minute, and breath by breath. Mm. If you can make it through a minute, then you can make it through another. And when you say, I can't do this, you are doing it. You're doing it. Just breathe.
Well, you just wrote a book. Breathe. You were in part of an anthology.
Yes, Sacred Hearts Rising. Oh my God.
Tell me, what was the pages? What were your pages inside the book that you contributed to your volume? What did you
The chapter that I wrote is called In Heaven. Days before Emily passed away, I took a photo of the view from the pier, and I had a caption that said, In Heaven. And when she passed away, a dear friend of mine said that there's a message on Facebook. It's from Emily. And so I was scouring through, you know, all the photos, until all of a sudden that one came up and it said, In Heaven.
Wow.
And days before she passed, she made her father and I these gift certificates from her manicure and pedicure company called In Heaven.
Wow.
Like it's beyond my own mortal understanding.
Well, that happened to me when my brother passed. He passed suddenly. Mm-hmm. And he had left a voicemail saying bye to each one of us on a different occasion, even talking to the dogs.
Wow.
He says, but I'm okay. So, you know, you get these messages, but people are afraid to receive their intuition sometimes.
Oh yes. I fought my intuition. I mean, I smoked more marijuana than Bob Marley. I mean, I
smoked
copious amounts.
You got your blood on.
Oh, God. People would say, do you burn? And I'm like, daily.
You know what? But I'm going to tell you something since you brought that up. That's some trickery. Okay? Marijuana, I'm not all down with it. You know, now, again, I understand cannabis. My family's Native American. I understand its use. But I understand the trickery. The pesticides, the steroids that are put on marijuana. Marijuana is not like it used to be. It used to get you high, horny, and hungry.
That's right. And it had 5%. 5% THC is what they smoked in the 60s and the 70s. Now it's between 25 up.
Girl, I saw this girl hitting a stuff called wax. It looked like somebody had put an air hose up her butt. She just swole up. I was like, what the hell is that? That's no fun. You know, there used to be a little mystique to smoking marijuana, but did you find value in that? Because it plays out after a while. It just numbs you.
It stopped working. I was numb and dumb. And I wasn't myself. I'd lost all of my ambition. Mm. And then I went into a yoga teacher training program. And that's where I grieved. I learned how to process through yoga because at the time I was very angry with God. I was angry with Jesus. I was very, very angry. But I could understand those steps, the way that the yoga is so much more than just a physical practice. And meditation became very, very important for me. Very important. I meditate daily.
You do? You know what? I try to meditate daily, but sometimes I go real deep. Mm-hmm. And so I don't do that every day. Sometimes I need a break.
Absolutely. Well, and if you fall asleep while you're meditating, it just means you're tired.
Yeah, I know. So tell me some of the great things that you are doing to pleasure yourself, for the lack of a better term.
Well, I'm spending time with my granddaughter. Oh. I love to cook. I'm making lupini beans right now. So
what is a lupini bean? What is that?
It's Italian. So my soulmate, Raphael Cuglietta, is Italian. So he has a friend who wants lupini beans, and it's something his dad always made. So now I'm making them.
Okay, they're so soaking. When you finish making them, I'm going to add them to our YouTube upload. I'll take a picture and post it. I want to see
beans. Yes.
Yeah, I made some Cornish hens. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, there was some stuffing. Oh, they love that. So as we conclude, what would you like to share with my brains about, you know, your coaching program, working with you, really kind of, you know, having somebody to hold their hand through the process? Because we're all experiencing some sort of monumental loss. Our income, our social connections, our sexual relations, our human interaction, our relationship capital, emotional intelligence, all of it's just gone kapoo-poo.
Oh, it's gone kapoo-poo. It has. And we've got to tune into ourselves instead of tapping out. Mm. I mean, the 12 o'clock margarita, the 12 o'clock mimosa, that's going to disconnect you from your source.
The 12 o'clock blunt.
Exactly, 12 o'clock blunt. If you don't face your problems and you keep on sticking them under the rug, your subconscious mind is what suffers. So there's a part of you that's programmed, and it's programmed by default, because if you're not consciously aware of what you're doing and why you're doing it, you're going to keep creating the same things over and over again. So if you're going to whine, bitch, and complain about, well, you know, it doesn't matter what I do, my jobs just don't pay off, then you're going to attract that. You have to get really clear about what it is that you want. And you've got to clear yourself deeper than a superficial level. Because if it looks all good here, but it's not good in here, and you're not coming from your heart and your true intentions, you're gonna create by default, and you're gonna get the same crap over and over again. This is the optimal time for creation. And if you're at home alone, fix yourself. You can't fix anybody else.
No.
And you can't fix stupid either.
You can't. And again, only the strong survive.
Absolutely.
So we absolutely have to pay attention to what we're doing. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Nancy Nance. If they want to get a copy of the book, they want to do some deep diving, work with you, or just have like a cool ass conversation.
www.exponentialjoy.com.
Spell that out for them, girl. Take your time.
ExponentialJoy is exponential joy. So if you take joy and multiply it exponentially, so you take joy and you put a 10 up top.
Wow.
Then it's joy times 10 times 10 times 10 times 10 times 10. That is what we are all aiming for. We all want joy. Who doesn't want more joy?
We all want a ripple effect. We all.
That's right. And if you help, if you heal yourself, then you heal the soul DNA of your entire family.
Wow. See, now that's a big aha moment, brains, and it took her a long time to get there. And I'm sure that she's still weaving in and out of that to lose a child, you know. But I'm glad that you are able to resonate and sit in your feelings and yes. be comfortable with that. That's very powerful. That's half the battle. You stop smoking blunts. That's great, too.
That's great.
Your son is doing well.
Yes, he is.
You're in a new relationship. And, you know, hopefully her father is healing in his own type of way. So everything, you know, we don't understand the reason why, but it's working itself out. And I'm so glad that you shared your story with us here on The Edge with me and my brains. Brains, please.
Well, and Brenda.
Yes.
Do I have time to talk about my Brendas?
Absolutely. Yes. We don't want to forget Brenda. Go ahead.
So when I, when my ex-husband separated from me, he found himself a lady. Her name was Brenda, and they got married. So right before they got married, my mother told me that my father left her for a woman whose name is Brenda. And then Ralph's ex-wife's name is Brenda. Yeah. And then my friend...
Brenda is like the Karen in the United
States. It is. It's like the Karen. And then my friend suggested to me that I write a chapter in a book, and she would not stop. Daphne kept on going on and on and on. So I said to her, if I do this, will you leave me alone? So right. She said, yes. So later on that day, I get an email from Brenda. Like, what is she sending me an email about?
Girl, she done come up out the ground.
So I'm like, what's this? So I clicked on it. And then I realized that that was the woman who I had the opportunity to write with, write for. And then there was another lady who wrote poetry called Finding Your Wings. Mm. And they're poems. So she wrote a poem for me. She wrote a poem for every author. So the poem is called Joy. One word can reveal us, a love mantra made. Layers of letters, a memory's trade. Masks carved to figure the art of one thought. Hyphens and dashes give path to life brought. A vision, an item, a moment, a name. Vocals interpret the image's frame, spoken linguistically.
Wow.
And that was Colleen Songs. Colleen Songs, who wrote all the poetry, and she's a musician, she's a songwriter, she's everything. She's just wonderful. She's so special.
Yeah, it was so nice how she layered it and texturized it yes. for you to really resonate with your daughter. That was beautiful. She put a lot of care yeah. into that. So thank you again for being here on The Edge with me. Brains, I need you to go and subscribe. Help me raise those numbers right there. Oh, yes, on YouTube. Instagram. I'm trying to make Instagram my jam. You know, some places just, it's too much.
Instagram is fun. I'm really starting to enjoy it.
I'm trying, but it's girl, you got to be creative when you talk to each one of these groups. You know, you don't talk to the Twitter folks like you talk to the LinkedIn folks versus the Facebook. And what happened to like Pandora and all that other stuff? It's just so much out there in the blatosphere.
There is. There's even, and there's a new one out there. I can't even remember what it's called.
Tickety talk.
Tickety talk.
Yes, sir. I like you. So thank you for being here on The Edge. Go back and check out again, other edgy conversations. And Nancy Nance is right there to talk to you. Help you guide yourself through a difficult situation. I love you, my sister. Be good. Be good.
I love you, too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
A phobia about tattooing. I have a personal thing. I've seen people with the numbers on them from Auschwitz. It just kind of freaked me out.
Have you read that book, The Tattooist of Auschwitz?
No.
Okay, that'll be in my book club.
Okay. Okay.
That book was so beautiful.
See, and, you know, and the ink, so I'm not into that, but I was thinking about it before, you know, maybe when I turned 60, me and Mr. Magnificent have the same initials. I was thinking about getting our initials or something like that. We've been married for 6 years. He said, but there's no need to ink it. So tell me about your sleeve. Let me take a look at that. Take your time. You're right in the sunlight. So turn around a little bit because I want people to get the full effect of what this is and what this symbolizes.
Oh my gosh, I've got so many. There we go. So the first tattoo that I got is now been covered up, but on my back, once Jessie comes out, I'll have her tilt the camera. I've got Winnie the Pooh on my back. This one here, means grace. So it's by the grace of God that I go. And Nancy means grace.
Okay.
Then I have a dragonfly that is infinite potential. There's nothing that I cannot do.
Okay.
There is the balance in between. So the, whoops, sorry.
Yeah. Come back a little
bit. So the balance in between. So the fire and the water.
Okay.
I wear my heart on my sleeve. There we go. I've got a hibiscus for Emily and a hibiscus for my granddaughter who also passed away.
Mm.
And then I've got the yoga-y kind of stuff. I don't know what you call that. Kind of like a henna tattoo look.
Yeah, I do henna.
And then I've got 7 roses that go up my arm.
Wow.
And then my favorite stargazer.
All right.
And then on my feet.
Oh, you're doing too much. Now, you know what? I'm going to ask you some questions since you brought it up. You know, there are those that may assume that this is like also a form of self-mutilation.
Yes.
Because tatted up, my nephew, bless his heart, got his gang set on his neck and got some on his face. Girl, you couldn't pay me again to do that.
Nope.
You know, like a dog collar. And, okay, over and over and over again. And tattoos are not inexpensive. I've never even been in a tattoo parlor.
Oh, no, that's an investment. And you know that people are now, when you die, your family can preserve your skin.
Wow. Well, let me tell you about some skin, okay? Let me tell you one of my fantastic stories. I used to work in Venice Beach. You know, we've just been talking about the beach and Lenny Kravitz and all that good stuff. Girl, the tattoo woman of Venice came in there, and her body was completely tattooed on her face and everything. And she looked like she was 900 years old. It was the biggest turnoff. Then I had another friend that was a really voluptuous girl. She had a beautiful black raven on her back.
Mm.
Went and got gastric bypass, and now that raven looked like a damn crow. Okay.
That's so funny.
I'll just keep it at 100. And another thing, people do not take care of their skin. You need.
I know.
This is the biggest organ on your body, brains. And
yep.
To go ahead and exfoliate that real good. You need to moisturize it. You need to let it air out from deodorant and use a little baking powder, you know, because even getting a tattoo, you have to make sure that it's sterile. Someone also said if you get tattoos within a certain amount of time, you're not able to give blood. Have you heard that as well?
I have not heard that. No.
Yeah. And do they check people for, you know, hepatitis and tuberculosis before they give you a tattoo, or you just roll up in there and they just start drawing?
Well, that's why you choose someone that you know is safe, and you watch them clean their equipment in front of you. And if you're not sure, you ask them to do it again. And if they won't do it again, then you walk out.
Wow.
It's that simple. It's that simple. It is it's surgery. It's surgery. You take it seriously.
Mm.
And I use essential oils on my arms when I heal.
Yeah. You know, I love olive oil. You know, like Mr. Magnificent say, you do feel like velvet, honey. I take care of my skin. So I encourage you to take care of your skin too. Thanks so much, Nancy.
You're welcome. You are so welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.